What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Joining us to talk about ICE raids and resistance is my brother from another mother, George Galvis, the co-founder and executive director of Communities United for Restorative Youth Justice, or CURJ. Good morning, my G. How you be?
My sister from another mister, man. You know, we hanging in there. You know, we blessed and still stressed out here because of what they're doing to our people. So
I just I want to, you know, I like to listen to you pontificate. So I'm going to open ended question. Right. As you've been sitting back, not sitting back because you're in the streets, as you've been watching this unfold. Right. I mean, we're really focused on Los Angeles right now, but I know that you got your fingers on the pulse. Like, across the country, ICE is descending on communities. And then watching, right, the people resist, right? Some really beautiful uprisings happening. And then the response from the federal government to send in the military to shut it down. What is going on in the organizing mind of George Galvis in this moment?
I mean, it's so important that, you know, our elders tell us you don't know where you're going unless you know where you've been, right? And so we got to think comparatively in a social historical context about the ways that we have traditionally been colonized is through the most obvious playbook is classic divide and conquer. And that's what a lot of this is about right now. You know what I mean? You know, it goes back to the whole Willie Lynch syndrome. You know what I mean? And people can debate, well, was Willie Lynch a real, you know, a real person? It doesn't matter. The phenomenon of Willie Lynch syndrome is real as hell, right?
That's right. Yep.
So bottom line is what I'm peeping right now is, you know, some of this ridiculousness around respectability politics right now, to be quite frank, man, you know? You know, they don't need a pretense. They're not, you know what I mean? Like people are like, oh, you know, don't do this, don't do that. We must have a permit. Let's have our local police escort the march. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Like, it's already obvious that the police, the local police, even when they say, oh, we do not cooperate with ICE and this is a sanctuary city, they lie. They absolutely lie. They are completely enabling this. So people should never, ever, ever trust law enforcement. And the other thing that people can't deny is the effectiveness, because when they have to respond to the nonviolent direct actions or to any activity right now, it distracts them from being able to go out there and kidnap people, and it protects families. And let's talk about the real violence. Like, we have to stop referring to a broken window or glass as violence. You know what I mean? We got to move beyond this, because what we're seeing right now are broken bodies and families. Like, we're literally seeing them rip out babies from the hands of mothers. This is the same thing they did to our indigenous ancestors. The colonizers came in, they would rip out the babies from the mother's hands and smash their heads on the rocks in front of them. That is what we're witnessing. Nothing has changed in over 500 years.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was one image of a woman, you know, being pressed up against a cop car by like six pigs and literally ripping her baby out of her arms. And I just, you know, it was one of those images that broke me. And I don't know if you saw Davey D's repost from this Zen priest, Peter Coyote.
Yeah, I saw that we should, ridiculousness.
We should carry American flags. We should dress like we're going to church, which was an image that black folks during the civil rights movement utilized at that point. Make your protests silent. Go home at night. And then this narrative, right? And it's not like we don't struggle across political ideology and lines, because that is true. When we're in the streets, not all of us agree on how we're moving. But this trope that black and brown people are not capable or engaged in escalating engagement with the state in terms of self-defense, and it's some group of random, you know, white folks that are doing this, it is so paternalistic. And this idea that we're supposed to be brutalized consistently, right? Snatched, people are being disappeared, snatched and deported, and we're supposed to hold hands and sing? What planet are you on? And first of all, you ain't black and brown, so stop it, right? So don't tell us how to respond. Who do you think you are, first of all? I'll speak for black folks, right? Sometimes I'm like, we are like one of the only demographics, brown folks too, where we're told, right, that we don't have a right to defend ourselves. And then when we do defend ourselves, y'all give credit to a whole other group of people. It's absurd. It's absurd, and I'm tired of it.
I don't know if you peeped this quote on social media, man, but it really, to me, struck, you know, a chord. You know, it resonated with me. It, you know, is the one, I don't know, but if you ask me, L.A. has a right to defend itself. Maybe I should just release the hostages. Right? There's Regina George Costanza, right? And it really punctuates the point of, like, the double standard, that all the violence, the genocide, that the state-sanctioned violence by this nation, by the U.S., by the Zionist, you know, social order, you know, Israel, on Gaza right now, the women, the children, the elders, right, that are being massacred, and then they want to start referring to, like, broken glass. Like you know what? A Starbucks window, no, zero people die when a Starbucks window shatters. You know what I'm saying? But we have tens of thousands of people dying in Gaza. We have tens of thousands of people dying here in the U.S. Why? Because of capitalism. Because we have HMOs that deny them the essential health care that they need. That's why Luigi came up. You know what I'm saying? Why do you think everybody is feeling Luigi? And as soon as they seen that everybody was feeling Luigi, what'd they do? They stop reporting on him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, when the state wants to deem one of those violent acts, you know, and then the other ones that are actually really violent, that are killing people, not violent, that's straight up capitalism. They value property, not human life.
That's right. Since you brought up Luigi, I'm going to segue just a little bit to Rodney Hinton.
Yes.
And what that set, so for, I think my listeners probably know, but Rodney Hinton is the father in Cincinnati, Ohio, who, after watching his son be murdered by police, ran his car into another officer, and it's not a celebration, right, of violence by any means. And to watch the way in which black folks, brown folks, allies and accomplices responded by flooding GoFundMe with donations, sending him letters, putting money on his books, like, to me, what that says, right, because we have to find silver linings in this time, like, that's between that and Luigi, I sat back and I was like, oh, something's shifting, right?
Yes.
Like something is shifting. Like, when you have the POA telling GoFundMe they better shut it down, and so as organizers, I'm like, okay, how do we better be prepared, right? We better be prepared for this moment, and we better figure out how to insert strategy and sustainability, right? This is not the time where we're in the streets and then when it calms down, we go home. It'll be a seriously missed opportunity, I think.
Absolutely. And I just, everybody was, everybody who has a sense of humanity was enamored and just loved the way Rodney Hinton came into that room, chin up.
Yes.
Staring all these police terrorists, right, in the eye, and they fill the room as a way of trying to intimidate him. They wouldn't even let his own family into the courtroom. But he was not intimidated. He did not back down. I mean, you know, man, what's not to love about that? You know what I mean? Like, he epitomizes what so many of us have felt in our gut when we see them continuously, systematically, just dehumanize black and brown bodies and murder with impunity. You know what I mean? That, you know what? Guess what? Y'all can be touched too. Y'all can be touched too. And,
we're tired.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. People are sick and tired of being sick and tired, in the words of Fannie Lou Hamer, man.
Yeah. Yeah. George, one of the things that you and I talk about a lot and model, and I'm going to give us, credit for that, is black brown solidarity across issues, right? It don't matter.
Yes.
Black person gets harmed or black community gets harmed, you show up. Latinx community harm, like, we show up, right? And we're really clear about, like, we need each other in this struggle. This moment around immigration and the raids, et cetera, right? One of the things that's being disappeared out of the conversation is black immigrants, right? Haitians.
That's right.
Eritrean folks, Ethiopian folks, African folks, you know, 8 out of the 11 countries on that travel ban are black countries.
African, yeah.
So from your perspective, and I'm going to address some of the nonsense I'm seeing online in an IG later today. But from your perspective, where do you see the opportunities for solidarity, and what is the ask?
Yeah. So one of the things I think it's important to name is we know that there has been anti-blackness in the brown community. And we know that there has been xenophobia in the black community, right? And this is a small number of folks, but right now it's also being instigated. Like, there are literally settler colonizers, white MAGA types, you know what I'm saying? Neo-Nazis pretending to be black influencers, like, you know, with these, you know, black social media websites and groups. And they're out there fooling the, you know, they're throwing gasoline on the fire, trying to instigate wedges. And it goes back to the first thing I talked about around classic divide and conquer. They know that there's strength in unity. They know we have a common pain, a common oppression, a common struggle. And we are so powerful together. But more importantly, right now in this moment, we have to see the common humanity, the common spirit, black and indigenous folks. And let's be clear, when we talk about brown folks, we are talking about indigenous people. You know what I mean? The irony of labeling people immigrants. You know, we say we didn't cross the border crossed us. Like, our ancestors go back to this land since time immemorial. Let's talk about who the real settler colonizers are. You know what I'm saying? You know, who are the real immigrants, you know? And so, you know, that's something I think that is so critical. Like, do not let, folks should never, ever get pulled into that hype. Well, they don't show up for us. You know, I remember hearing, like, from some of the families, you know what I mean? Not very many. There were many who were all about the solidarity, but there's a couple. And it only sometimes takes, like, one sort of, divisive thing that can spark some BS and it can spread, you know what I mean? But, you know, like, during the height in summer of 2020, when we're out there marching for Movement for Black Lives, you know, somebody, well, what about us? I'm like, well, what about us? We out here, we got to organize our people. We got to organize our families. We should take inspiration. You know what I'm saying? And so, we ain't got to hijack people's hashtags in order to build a movement. You know what I mean? But we show up each other. We show up for each other. You know, you showed up. Didn't matter. Black, brown, white, Asian. You show up when families are impacted by police terrorism. We show up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's the kind of solidarity we have to continue to build on, but we got to make sure we don't let some of these fools, you know what I mean, who come in trying to instigate these divisive ass, tactics, you know what I mean, that only benefit, you know, the settler colonizers, you know, prevail, you know. And, you know, there might be some people who ain't a part of that, maybe they're not, a part of that. Maybe they just need some enlightenment. Maybe they just need, but we can never ever paint all people with the same brush, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people who look like me that I don't support. You know what I mean? I'm not a cultural nationalist. You know what I mean?
Come on now.
I build with people who are aligned with values. You know what I mean? You know, like, come on. We pulled up on our city council member, Noel Gayo, tough on him. You know what I'm saying? he was mad at me for hella years.
Oh,
Noel. Talk to me, you know what I mean? You know, he's talking to me again now, apparently. So, you know, that's cool. But, you know, who cares, really, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Tell the truth, as you always do. All right, George Galvis, thank you, brother. I'll see you later today.
Thank you, fam. Appreciate you. Much love.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.